In the latter half of the 1800s, so the end, somewhere after 1850, there was a poet by the name of Francis Thompson in England. And he wrote a poem that has become somewhat well known. The poem is called The Hound of Heaven. I'd kind of hope to quote it for you tonight, but when I looked it up, I realized that it's written in kind of old English and a lot of vocabulary in it that we'd probably have to look up in an old dictionary, because it's just not quite what we're used to hearing. But the basic thrust of the poem is that the author seems to have thought of himself as being pursued by God. And so he used that image that God for him is like a hound chasing after prey, trying to catch him. And in the poem, he's talking about how he fled from God. How he, in a sense, ran from him, tried not to think about him, tried not to open his life to him. And yet, the more he fled, it seemed to him, the more persistent God was with him. And finally, at the end, in a sense, God captured him. And he began a relationship with God. You know, you and I are accustomed often to hearing people say, I've been searching for God. Or, I've been trying to find God in my life. I don't think that's an uncommon statement for us to hear, or even to say. But in a sense, that is the exact opposite of the truth. God looks for us much more than we look for God. God is pursuing us. God wants us. He wants to give life to us. It's interesting in that second reading how it said, God is patient so that everyone will come to salvation. God wants you and I in the kingdom of heaven. The prophet Isaiah, in that first reading, is talking about how God, again, wants to come to the people of Israel. And he's saying, prepare the way of the Lord. Make a highway for our God. And he talks about how the hills would be brought low, the valleys will be raised up, and the rough ways will be made smooth, so that our God can come to us. John the Baptist, in that gospel reading, by the way, it's quoting from Isaiah, the first part of the reading, John the Baptist is, in a sense, saying the same thing. He is calling people to prepare the way of the Lord, to open their hearts to the Lord. And if you notice something, he talks about a baptism of repentance, calling people to repent. Now that's in Mark's gospel. If you go to Matthew's gospel or go to Luke's gospel, we get that same thing, that baptism of repentance. But Luke's gospel adds something very important. In Luke's gospel, not only does John call for repentance, but he also talks about, he says, those who have food should share with those who do not. Those who have two cloaks should share with those who do not have. In other words, it's not only the evil we should avoid, But part of our preparing the way for the Lord is the good that we should do. Now, that's what the Advent season is about. It is about us preparing the way of the Lord. Can we prepare our hearts more and more so that we can receive the Lord? He is searching for us. He wants to enter into our lives. But are we allowing him to come in? Are we allowing him to enter? So this Advent season is always about that. Prepare the way of the Lord. But just as John preached a baptism of repentance, repentance is very important for you and I. We too have to look at our lives and say, what is it that I should not be doing? Or to use the image of Isaiah, what are the hills in my life that need to be brought low? What are the valleys that need to be raised up? What are the rough spots that need to be made smooth so that I am prepared to receive the Lord as he desires to come to me? There was a Spanish mystic, I think it was in the 16th century, who basically said, the most important thing for our spirituality is to become aware of the things to which we are attached. Now, what did he mean by that? Well, you know how it is, we have things in our lives that are very important to us. And sometimes those things become so important that they become more important than our relationship with God. You know, just for example, you know, maybe it's our image, how we want everybody to see us. And we're attached to that. We cling to it. We don't want to let go of that image. Or maybe it's the things we possess. They become so important that all of our focus, all of our energy is on those things, either preserving or acquiring. Or maybe it's our security. Maybe it's our comfort. Maybe it's our convenience. Maybe it's our pleasure. Whatever it is, we get attached to certain things and we hang on to them. And St. John of the Cross was saying, we have to learn to let go. We have to let go of those things so that we can put our focus on God and make him the center of our lives. You know, it might be our indifference to God. You know, God's okay, but I'm not going to let him bother my life. Could be our indifference to prayer. I'll pray someday. But whatever it is, we've got to begin to let go of those things so that, in a sense, we can be found by God. Not that he doesn't know where we are, but have we let him into our hearts? He wants to enter, but do we let him enter? And so repentance is not only getting rid of whatever sinful habits we might have, but it's also letting go of those things that become mini gods in our life, that consume us and preoccupy us and prevent us from really opening our hearts to God. You know, we as Catholics have a sacrament that's all about repentance. It goes by the name of the sacrament of penance, the sacrament of reconciliation, confession. We use many names for it. But through the centuries, that has been the way we as Catholics have learned to go about our repentance, to acknowledge our sins, and to seek God's grace and God's healing. That has existed throughout the centuries. And yet in our own time, that sacrament is, in a sense, fell into disuse. And I know from experience that there's many who haven't gone for years, or some who maybe once in a while. And yet, did not Jesus say in John's Gospel, "Whose sins you shall forgive," speaking to the apostles, "shall be forgiven. Whose sins you shall retain," they are retained. In the letter of James, did not James say, "Confess your sins to one another that you may find healing"? And to be more modern about it, any of you who've been in any of the 12-step programs, like Alcoholics Anonymous, will know that they say that the healing can only happen if we're willing to share our faults with another human person. There's something about telling another how we have sinned that helps us to find healing. But it also helps us to be honest with ourselves, where the evil really is in our life, where we need to make change, where we need to repent. My guess is for many, the lack of use of that sacrament is another thing about attachment to comfort, to convenience, maybe to pride. And yet it is a gift that God wants to give us. He wants to use the ministry of the church to give us his healing grace, to strengthen us so that we can open our hearts more and more to him. And so, in this Advent season, let's take advantage of that sacrament. If there's not enough opportunities, let me know. Be glad to schedule more. But God gives us this grace so that really the hills can be brought low, the valleys can be raised up, and the rough spots in our lives can be made smooth.